fit it. Definition of terminologies. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. Just in case you are confused, the Bible says that the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. There is no one that comes into power in a nation without God permitting it. If those of us that are here that have been following the politics of Kogi State, for instance, a certain man won an election and he didn't have enough life for him to be sworn in into the seat for which he contested viciously. The Bible says that the kingdom is the Lord's and he is the governor among the nations. Now the implication of that scripture is that God will only allow such a person that he has sanctioned to ascend into political power. Behind every ascension to political power is the approval of heaven. Sometimes we might have a bad leader because we are in need of judgment. So God allows some circumstances to work in a certain way as to install a leadership that is defective in keeping with his judgment policy for a nation. No matter how you look at it, the Bible says he is the ultimate governor among the nations. Just definition of terminologies. Next verse is Psalms 103 verse 19. Psalms 103 verse number 19. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. He has prepared his throne in the heavens. He decided that his actual throne will be set up in the heavens above, but irrespective of where his throne is, the Bible says the influence of his dominion affects all. Are you there? For instance, brother, how many siblings do you have? How many? You don't need to stand up. I'm already standing on your behalf. So, how many siblings do you have? 4 siblings. Okay, that's great. Where do you come? Number 1, number 2, number 3? Number 1? Oh, you are number 5. Now, you see, did you by any means participate in the meeting that made you 5? Alright, so there was an act of the sovereignty of God that was at work, and you were not consulted. It is your life, but you were not consulted as to how you came, because many of us would have loved to have come as a United States citizen, as a citizen of Belgium, but you were not asked. You just realize that you are number 5. It means that your authority is so minute, your opinion was not asked, because there are higher powers of government, higher powers of influence that are domiciled in the realm of the spirit that decided the most critical aspects of your manifestation. The Bible says that even though he has set up his throne in the heavens, even though his throne is not visible upon the face of the earth, the influence of his government can be felt over all. Now, I think we need to appreciate for the very first time, we need to appreciate the sound people. For the first time, I don't know what happened in my absence. But I think the Lord has visited, because never heard this sound like this. In fact, I'm already excited. Amen. Amen, hallelujah. So you see, his throne is domiciled in the heavens. But what the scripture is saying is that the influence of his government affects all. It is needful for us to understand that if we are going to perceive the person of God most accurately, then we must see him from the standpoint of rulership. In fact, the entire Bible is an account of the administration of God's kingdom. He rules over all. I'm still doing definition of terminologies, you know. Definition of terminologies, you see. Are you there? Alright, so if somebody ever ascends power, political power, if somebody ever ascends power, it is because God allowed him. Because we have seen cases where people won elections but they could not ascend. Alright? Okay, so if it happens that the person you do not like eventually ascends power, it means that the umpire that is superior to our voting process must have allowed it. It doesn't necessarily mean that that was his will, but in order for it to remain the monarch of heaven, whose influence affects all, must have what? Allowed it. So there is a certain context of the will of God that can be referred to as an allowed will. It is not God's perfect will, but the governor over all exercised his sovereignty in allowing it to happen. Now, many times in our journey as Christians, we might be tempted to ask questions, just like I did when my dad died. He was just 62 years old. And in my opinion, he was a very young man. And judging from how much of education he had invested in the soil of his soul, it was a great loss. His friends called him the great mind. He was on any subject whatsoever. He was a modicum of knowledge. But you see, he died. He died, and we tried to quicken him from the dead, and we did not have the authority to do that. Hallelujah. You see, it means that even though you know how to pray, there is one that knows how to answer prayer. You have not yet prayed enough to come to the point where you now understand how prayers are answered. It was a humbling situation, seeing something that we desperately wanted to change, but we were short of the authority that was required to bring about the change. In those moments, you are forced to accept the fact that there seemed to be a governor who has prepared his throne in the heavens, and the influence of that throne affects everything that rises, everything that falls, everything that lives, everything that dies. That's too much power. And it's only one personality that wields that kind of power. The Bible says, even though he deliberately decided to prepare his throne in the heavens, his kingdom, what? Ruleth over all. Still trying to define terminologies before we go into the subject of the night. And my intention is to arrest the spirit of depression that I saw over Abuja. Abuja was quiet, was held under darkness. The moment we flew in, you could sense the intensity of the depression over the landscape. All right, so hallelujah. So it's not as desperate as we might be to see some things turn out the way we expect. And surprisingly, exposed to a contrary position if that thing sustains, then it must have its roots in the allowance of the monarch whose throne rules over all. So if you are going to operate as a victim of his sovereign power, are you there? One of the things that is important for you to do regularly is to learn how to let go sometimes. It's difficult, but to learn how to let go. Daniel chapter 4, verse 17, we'll do 17, we'll do 25, and then we will go to the subject matter. I have a parable, because the way I'm seeing all of you have so many questions, so I have a parable encapsulated in a scripture. And I want to believe that the Lord guided my heart to this scripture. And all your answers are in that scripture. But first of all, I want you to appreciate the concept of God's sovereignty, the concept of God's ultimate power, the concept of God's influence that we cannot avoid. Okay? And in view of the above, we must accept a position of submission anytime we see that God's fingerprint is on a matter, even if that matter is so personal. We will recover faster if we are in the knowledge of the fact that there is a sovereign pendulum that occasions the outcome of things. Okay? Now, Daniel chapter 4, verse 17. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know. You see, the living are likely to forget some points, so there is a need to remind the living. So several times some things happen in a certain way in order to awaken us to the consciousness of the fact that there is an over umpire, there is an overlord, there is a sovereign that is at work, and all the variables of and outcomes of life, destiny, are occasioned either directly or by permission from this sovereign. It's possible for us to forget about this sovereign. So many times circumstances and situations are occasioned in a way to bring us back to the knowledge of the fact that that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. It's very easy to forget that the Most High rules. He's not the one on the throne in Astaroth, but even the one that is in Astaroth is not totally responsible for his being there. Because if the Most High in heaven wants to displace someone that is on a throne, he doesn't need to come to you to take permission from you. And he has all the implements at his disposal to occasion displacement. So he is not by any means dispossessed of capacity, dispossessed of strategy, dispossessed of utensils to accomplish his intent. I'm just trying to give you a holistic picture before we begin our journey to answer questions. Are you there? Now, the questions will be easier to answer if we accord God his place of sovereignty. I saw a young man, and this young man used to pray for people that get healed, and so he saw a certain cripple lady that brought her to him. He prayed, and according to him, he felt in his heart that the Holy Spirit had released the healing. only for him to hear that the lady died. He threw his Bible away and said he will never preach again, that the scriptures are not trustworthy, and he became an atheist. Do you realize that his being an atheist doesn't affect God? It affects him. When you are dealing with the sovereign, you need you need a posture of submission. His administration is set up to weave everything, to manipulate everything according to the counsel of his will. It is impossible for us mortals, using mortal implements, to be able to discern what God wants to achieve in a situation that doesn't quite look like the outcome that you are expecting. But you see, he has a loom. You know what a loom is? A loom is that setup that is used to weave a traditional, what do they call that? Tiva tire. Ange. Sorry. What's the English name for ange? Because someone in Spain is listening to me now and is wondering what ange is, because Google doesn't know what ange is. Yeah, so ange is a cloth fabric that is made by hand. It's a weaving system. A loom. You know what a loom is. So that's, and we have, for those of you that have never been to Benue State in Nigeria, you need to come here, because we have our own fabric. We sing our songs, we wear our fabric. So we have a fabric, okay? And it's called ange, for your information. Now, so God weaves things. And if you do not know, if you have not worked with him for a while, you might be totally in the dark as to what he wants to weave out of the complexities of situations that are before you, for which you are depressed. The Bible reveals that the administration of God is saddled with one responsibility and one responsibility alone throughout the course of the period we call time. And what God is doing through Christ in all of time is that he is manipulating everything according to the counsel of his will. That's a big place to be. And the skill that is required to bring everything into conformity with the will of God is much more than what you needed to study physics in the university. It's much more than what you needed to study mathematics in the university. It's deeper. It's shrouded with so many mysteries. And that's why, if you're going to walk with the sovereign, it is suggested that you find a path of submission, because there are several things that he will allow, not necessarily his will, but he allowed it, that may not be in keeping with your expectation. And if you forget that there is the place of the sovereign, situations are going to bedevil you and knock you off into depression. This is the statement of the watchers. And what exactly did the watchers say? They said the matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand of the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. You see, his throne is domiciled in the heavenlies, but it will interest you to know that he reigns in the kingdom of what? Men. Oh, I remember those days. I 30 people, 30 people came together. I was still in public service somewhere in the north, and they teamed up and they said they were going to put me to shame. 30 people. So one of my loyalists escaped and gave me information that, in fact, he escaped. He was supposed to be the first victim of the assault, but he escaped to bring me tidings. And I went before the Lord from morning till night on my knees in Abuja. When I rose up in the night, the monarch, the Most High, oh my God, who reigns in the affairs of men, went on rampage. And at the end of the day, the 30 people lacked the ability to translate their intentions. Their intentions were mere desires that never saw the light of day. The fact that you are 30 doesn't mean you have the capacity to win a battle. Not if the Most High is involved. All right? So outcomes do not really follow the pattern of the multitude. Outcomes sometimes are strange, and when you try to use your finite mind to perceive what is obtainable, you might be struck with depression if you do not acknowledge the fact that there is a throne domiciled in the heavens, yet efficacious in manipulating things from the perspective of men. Only he among us that is a friend of God, that maybe heard the whispers of eternity, can bring accurate perspective as to what is going on. So if we want to understand the news, then we might need to hear the breaking news from heaven. So if there are no prophets among a company, they will walk in darkness. Are you still with me? They will cry when they are supposed to be celebrating. They will drink and merry when they are supposed to be in mourning. For the Bible says that if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, how can the people prepare for battle? You will be doing something else at the time where you should be doing strategic things that will move destiny forward. If you are still with me, say amen. I know it's a burden to say amen these days, but just in case you are here, say amen. So the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth to whosoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. So in issues of political power, it must be vetted by a certain throne of high excellence in the heavenlies. Yeah, verse 25. To that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. This was a verdict that was proclaimed about a king, that this king, who called himself the King of Kings, by the decree of the watchers, was to spend 7 years like a creature, a beast of the forest. He will become herbivorous, eating grass, and the morning dew will water him for 7 seasons. After this treatment, it will come to him as a revelation that the Most High does what? you don't need this process to come to that acknowledgement. I believe this class has arrived at the point of acknowledging the sovereignty of he that is tabernacled in the heavens, whose influence manipulates everything according to the counsel of his will. For instance, the Bible says that the hair on our head, they are numbered. He didn't say that the hair of our head is counted. He said they are numbered. Right? So each hair has a number combination, just like you have a combination lock for your Ecolac box. Hallelujah. We have been packing, and we try to unveil the content of a certain box only to realize that it was held by a combination lock. And you know, I was not under the influence of the anointing and the gift of the word of knowledge to know the number. Hallelujah. May the Lord help us in the name of Jesus. That anointing was not available at that time. So we tried all kinds of combinations using mathematics and to no avail. Amen. You know, permutation and combination? All right, so it will take us, we'll become old men by the time we'll, arrive at the number using permutation and combination. So I had to ask the person that gave me the box. He's in Tanzania. I said, hey, what's the combination again? You see, sometimes we need to ask God for the combination. If not, you will be caught up in an activity that will bedevil you and sap all of your strength. Now, the reason for this definition of terminologies is to bring to light the fact that there is a hidden throne which you cannot see now that is responsible for the things that happen among men. And it's quite difficult to be able to comprehend how an invisible throne is responsible for outcomes for he that prospers in the field, he that survives in the city, he that escapes the bomb blast, he that survives the epidemic, the pestilence, the famine, the most high ruler in the affairs of men. Hallelujah. And pertaining to political leadership, he gives leadership to who he wills. Are you there? All right. So, I know I'm just, we are on a journey, okay? Now, let's answer your questions. The scripture I want to read is, in my opinion, a prophetic picture of what is happening now and what will happen in a few days from today. So all of that, we'll be using metaphors, names will not be mentioned. And so may the Spirit of God give you understanding. Actual names will not be mentioned. It's a novel. It's a novel that captures all the colors and the shades, the dynamics of the events that have culminated in the depression that I've seen since I came back from Botswana. And how the sovereign is going to seep into the activities of men and overwhelm the situation, manipulate it such that it is suiting to his counsel. I saw a graphic picture that illustrates the possibilities that are ahead of us as a nation in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 1, beginning from verse number 5. So this is the teaching for the night. And just in case I'm not able to finish, we will continue. Well, we will not rush it so that you will get... But you see, your interpretation, you are the one that is going to be doing the interpretation, okay? I will just make a very honest presentation and you will be left with the responsibility of... Hey, sorry. 1 Kings chapter 1, beginning from verse number 5. You know why I like the Old Testament? The Old Testament is it's like a chest of treasures. It's a chest of treasures. And you must don't ever forget that the Bible was written with the spirit of prophecy. Before you call a section of the Bible old, you must be very good in your theology to come to that conclusion. Because what most people call the Old Testament is not Old Testament. The Bible can be explained from two pivots, one of which is covenant, a critical word with which we can use to explain scripture, explain the behavior of God, explain the intervention of God. Why did God come? Why did he intervene? A very good basis of judging that is the word covenant. Are you there? Oh, you're not following me. Is the word what? Covenant. So, and it happens to be, like you have heard me say before, that the Bible actually has five covenants. And the first covenant, as I said to you, is the covenant of Noah. Second covenant is the covenant of Abraham. Third covenant is the covenant of Moses. Fourth covenant is the covenant of David. And then the fifth covenant is the covenant of Jesus. You will notice that in the part of your Bible called Old Testament, are you there? Four of these covenants are rooted. But only one out of those four is Old Covenant. The rest are still active till this very day. And that's why I'm saying you need to be a very good theologian to understand the flow of things in the Old Testament context in order for you to arrive at what Old Testament is. The Bible is a prophetic book. Very prophetic that God anticipated your coming. You. Sister, what's your name? Yeah. Anytime we point at people and you say, me, he is you. Yeah, so what's your name then? Adebola. So that's her name, okay? Adebola, do you realize that the Holy Ghost anticipated your coming? He knew you would be here. And in the scriptures, there are prophetic codes that have been put in place that captures your uniqueness, your destiny, your everything. So what we tell people is that before you begin to encounter God in the realm of the spirit, he wants you to encounter him first in the scriptures. Because if the spirit of inspiration is still at work in you, you will find yourself in the scriptures before you find yourself by encounter. There are so many prophets in the Bible. I've been doing a study on prophets because I have become interested in the prophetic because of what I've seen on the continent of Africa. We need to define the prophetic ministry. We need to analyze the prophetic ministry. There is a pseudo-prophetic manifestation that is largely on the continent of Africa, masquerading to be the accurate prophetic of God. And the only way we can expose this treachery is to get back to the scriptures and to find out what is true prophetic ministry about. If we study the life of Samuel, are you with me? If we study the life of Samuel, you are going to see a unique thing about Samuel's training in prophetic ministry. I'm veering off. Well, let's go back to the book. Let's go back to the book so that we can address issues. So, okay. So the covenant of David is still in force till today. The covenant of Abraham, the thing that God agreed with Abraham, it is on the platform of that agreement that God had with Abraham that you are saved today. So is your salvation old? All right, so you need to be very technically accurate before you assign a part of the Old Testament text as old. Because if you are saying it is old, it means it no longer applies to us. It is old-fashioned, it is obsolete, it is archaic, it is no longer in force for us. Right? But you see, you must do that very carefully because what God does is that he begins to prophetically speak about something that he eventually begins to do. Right? So many times, if you want to understand God, you will need to go back to the places where he spoke about the things he's doing now in order for you to understand your now very well. Did you get that? Sister, did you get that? For instance, God begins to speak about you before you were conceived in your mother's womb. So if you need to know about you, you need to go back and find out what God said. You understand? So in order for you to operate maximally in the present, you need to travel into the past. That's how our God wants us to function. In order for you to be accurate on the ground in your destiny, you need to travel into the past, into the heart of God, to know what God conceived in his heart about you before you were formed in your mother's womb. You see, God was speaking to Jeremiah. He said, are you aware that I knew you before you were even formed as a fetus in your mother's womb? I knew you. So even if you came as a result of immorality, you came as a result of some two holidaying people in the Caribbean islands trying to under coconut trees, may the Lord give you understanding. Is that how the physical permutation that led to your coming? That is immaterial. I knew you even before you were formed in your mother's womb. So you will need to find out what God knows about you in that context, because that is the only reason, the only way you can be accurate in your earth walk The Bible is prophetic. Everything is captured in it. If you stay long enough with the scriptures and with the Holy Ghost, He will show you you in the scriptures, because the scriptures anticipated your coming. And so it provided a lot of latitude to accommodate the uniqueness of your destiny. And so when things happen, either politically, family-wise, state-wise, in your clan, there are scriptures. All those events are adequately articulated in the Bible, but it will take the Holy Spirit to bring illumination. And that's why the Bible says that where there is no vision, where there is no illumination, the truth of the Word of God can be enshrined in the Bible, but you are not likely to stumble upon it. But I pray God will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. All right. 1 Kings chapter 1, beginning from verse number 5. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, all of these metaphors, I will not mention names, but it's as if the games of this season are adequately articulated in the presentation that is captured therein. It will surprise you to know that Adonijah was not David's first son. It will surprise you to know that Adonijah was not David's second son. It will surprise you to know that Adonijah was not David's third son. It will surprise you to know that Adonijah was David's fourth son. Are you there? Two of his seniors, Absalom, died because of rebellion. Two of his seniors were dead. But there was still one guy that was still his senior. And that guy did not say anything about becoming king. And then Adonijah. I will show you what gave Adonijah the impetus to say, it is my turn. Hallelujah. You know, I said that. I don't know, but God is, you see, may we ask the Lord that He might cause our eyes to be enlightened, to behold treasures out of His law. So many things are coded within His law. And if you can see, hallelujah. He says, I will be king. I don't care if God is the one that makes kings. I don't care about the throne that is domiciled in the heavens. I think I have what it takes to make myself king, and I will be king. Kabosani, I can't tell you. So he's been waiting for a long time, waiting for the moment, making the necessary connections. And when he felt that his pool of connections were solid, he proclaimed his ambition. I will be king. Notice that we said, and we came to a humble discovery of the fact that there is a throne that is domiciled in the heavens that manipulates the affairs of men. And in terms of political leadership, he decides who he wills. Are you there? So whenever God goes on rampage, if you want to be safe, let me tell you what to do. He will never take sides with people. He will only take sides with his will. So if you want to be safe when God goes on rampage, just find out what God's will is and stand there. No matter the circumstances you see, stand by the side of the will of God. Because every other thing will fall like a pack of cards. Only the will of God will stand. So, you see, when someone says he's called into the ministry, give him time. Then you'll find out if he endures with the principles of God. If he doesn't endure with the principles of God, he can't believe God, so he has divine strategies of survival. It's not God that called him. That's why he's making so much effort to sustain himself. Faith becomes easy. When we are sure of your source, when we are sure of the person that instructed, when we are sure of the origin of your confidence, this guy shows up on the scene out of nowhere. His name was not even known. And said what? I'll be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen, 50 men to run before him. And his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, why hast thou done so? And he also was very good, was a very goodly man, and his mother bare him after Absalom. It means that while he was declaring himself king, his father was silent. His father did not question him. God did not intervene. God did not say anything about his ambition. God was quiet. You see, it's a terrible thing for you to be prophesying when God is quiet about a matter. Facebook is a cage. It's a cage of strange utterances. All kinds of stuff. A certain concerned citizen decided to do a video. A compendium of prophetic words that were given in this season. Especially those ones that were given without God. You know, someone can be prophesying. So, a compendium of utterances. And it was a shame. Notice that when Adonijah was going on his campaign, God was quiet. God was not involved. He did not consult God, but he was so confident that he will become king. And I'll show you the basis of his confidence in the moment of time. And he conferred with Joab, the son of Jeruiah, and with Abiathar the priest, and there following Adonijah helped him. See, the basis of his confidence was that he had the ears of the most significant people in the state of Israel. So when the moment came, he consciously built an affiliation with the most strategic guys. Joab the warrior. Abiathar the priest. He built an affiliation with significant men in the state of Israel. And when that moment came, he cashed in on his relationship with them, and they decided to ally with him. And the Bible says that they helped him. Now, in all of this arrangement, you could see the ingenuity of man's wisdom. Part of the rebuke that Jesus gave us, the sons of the kingdom, is that we do not understand what is called the currency of relationships. That's part of the rebuke that Jesus gave us. But unbelievers seem to know about the currency of relationships much more than we that are in the kingdom of God. So this guy was leveraging on the currency of relationships. Are you still with me? There's a certain movie that I would have made reference to on this matter of the currency of relationships. But if I mention it now, they say, hey, so our pastor watches movies. You see, within the scope of my knowledge, if I know anything that will help you, aid you in understanding, I will let you know. Alright? If it will aid you to know the concepts of God, if it will aid you to know the ways of God, I will let you know. But because somebody might be wondering that, we thought our pastor only kneels down before God 24 hours. There, it will interest you to know that one of the ways I unwind after a long time of spiritual exercise, it works for me. It makes me relax. Movie. So I watch movies. Just in case you were asking, I actually watch movies. Amen. Okay. So, but I will not mention the name of the movie again because some people already having heart issues and all that. So, no need to mention. But in the movie that I'm talking about, the characters of the movie had golden coins, and that golden coin was not a market kind of coin. It's not something you can exchange for money, but it's a coin that talks about the captures the value of relationships. All right, so that coin captures the value of relationships. So they trade with relationships, and there are deep spiritual aspects. When you do a certain favor for someone that saves his life, the person will give a coin also and give a little of his blood to show that he's bound to you to reciprocating that favor in the day of your own trouble. So they keep those evidences, and that forms the currency of their relationships. All right? So if you know how to play the card of relationships, according to that movie, you can actually sit on the high table. May the Lord give you understanding. Now, in this particular scenario, what is taking place here is that this guy is leveraging on the currency of relationships that are under his hand. So he was able to get the commitment of a major general in the Israeli army. He was able to get the attention of the leading priest of the house, who was highly respected, and it would look like his candidature came directly from the temple. Abiata! If you hear how thunderous that name is, it was even more thunderous when he was alive. He got these guys, and they were in his favor. Nobody could wake up and challenge Joab. At least that is a known fact. The great warrior general. So, because of his relationship with these guys, that was his coin. That was his golden coin. It was a currency that he was going to take advantage of. And you will see that the Bible reveals that what? They did what? They helped. They helped. So there are many people that can be helped by men. Even some systems can help a man. A system can help a man. A computer program can help. An algorithm can help. They helped him. So he had his ambition. He met the right guys. The right guys were committed to him. And surprisingly, the right guys did not betray him. What did they do to him? They what? They helped him. But when you look at this in question very, very critically, you discover that all of this is happening outside of the one who sets his throne in the heavens. Do you know that this governor among the nations who is tabernacled in the heavens can allow your plans to work as though you have the ability to establish your intent? Because of the sovereign ability in his hands, he can decide to allow you prosper in your own plan. Especially if he wants to. Because once and again, situations and circumstances must be orchestrated to remind men, remind human beings that the Most High, he does what? He reigns in the affairs of men. See, humanity will have to be reminded again and again through some strange, drastic, and erratic situations, bringing us to the consciousness of the fact that the Most High reigned in the affairs of men. Now, this guy has casted the Most High aside. He is dealing with his relationships, and the relationships that he had built were genuine ones, and the Bible says that they helped him. But Zadok the priest and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada and Nathan the prophet, and Shimei, and Rei, and the mighty men which belonged to David were not with Adonijah. Can we do the permutation quickly? Are you there? Can we count the number of people that were with Adonijah and the people that were not with Adonijah? Or you are not following? You are not interested in this man? You know what? We're fighting a strange depression that I saw from Abuja. Fighting it. The reason why you are depressed is because you have not yet sought counsel from the Lord. Amen. Can we do the counting? How many people, how many mighty influential people in the state of Israel were with Adonijah? How many were not with Adonijah? Do you realize? Are you there? So sometimes it is possible for a few people, just a very few people that are not representative of the metrics of the populace, to hijack influence. Alright? And probably because they've been doing it before, unchallenged, they felt the trend is going to be consistent like the things that they have seen in times past. So, they undermine the presence of people like Nathan the prophet, undermine the presence of people like Zadok the priest, undermine the presence of people like Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, undermine the presence of men like Shimei and Rei. Felt that they were totally of no political significance whatsoever. If you are still with me, say amen. Eventually, you will discover that the people that had not in support of this movement were actually more than the people that were in support of this movement. That's a point I want us to be aware of. And Adonijah slew sheep and oxen and fat cattle by the stone of Jehareth, which is by En-Rogel, and called all his brethren, the king's sons, and all men of Judah, the king's servants. But Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah, and the mighty men, and Solomon his brother, he called not. So he had already, this time what he's trying to do is to, the possible fault lines in the political strategy, he's trying to mend the fault lines. So he felt that the most significant fault line that was created by his strategy is the household of David. So he already started parties. Parties that had IVs. And all the sons of David were invited to the place. Because he felt that the people that could claim right to the same apparatus he was reaching out for were in the house of his father. So he broke at peace. It was like a reconciliation, just in case he stepped on anybody's toes while attempting to climb. And in his eyes, Solomon was an insignificant political player. And all the advisors that had a relationship with Solomon were of no significance. And then you will find this other side from verse 11. From verse 11 gives us the politics that is taking place in God's chamber in heaven. Are you sure? You see, till verse 10 is still showing us the schemes of a politician and his idea of reconciliation, as divisive as that strategy was. It was a reconciliation movement so that people that were contrary to his intentions might find some form of inclusivity in his approach to mending the fault lines. Now, the next set of scriptures we're going to read shows us what is happening in the bedchamber of the king. You know, I told you that God decided to prepare his throne where? In the heavens, but his kingdom rules over all. So when we cross into verse number 11, we are seeing the politics that is taking place in the chamber of the king himself. Now, the politics that takes place in the chamber of the king himself is a politics that has a very smaller quorum. In the politics that took place on the field at the polling unit, it involved a massive turnout. But there was another politics, the politics of, for the same land. But this one was done in the Holy of Holies, in the chamber of God. And not everyone was admitted into that corridor. But you are going to see that the effect of what takes place in the presence of the king, the privacy of his bedchamber, can spill out. Are you still there? And influence what took place at the polls concerning the issue of the presidency. We have done our part at the polls, but you see, the job is not yet done. We need to go into heavenly politicking. There's what we call politicking in the courtroom of God. That's the aspect that is left. So this guy had already killed animals, and they were already singing. You know, during my wedding, the guy on the instrument began to call my name. I don't know where he found my name. Param bam 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 param bam bam param bam bam bam. He said one Yoruba, then called my name. I am. Now, so they were doing those kind of things, and you can imagine the kind of songs going on. Adonai Param Adonai. All of that was taking place in the party hall. Meanwhile, there was another meeting. This one was in the bedchamber, not in the throne room. The guys had trespassed the throne room. They have found an entry point into the bedchamber. It was not time for the king to sit down to attend to issues of justice, of judgment, of equity, of... No, he was just there to rest. Oh! Do you know that we can quicken the Lord from his rest? The Lord can be quickened. Just like Jesus was asleep in the boat resting. And it was legitimate for him to rest because he'd been preaching all around. I think I know a little about the kind of tiredness that Jesus was experiencing. And when you sleep that sleep, you are knocked out. You are gone. But there was still an issue that needed his touch. The waters had gone boisterous under the influence of a wind that was difficult to fathom. So they had to interrupt the sleep of Jesus. Because with you is the power, with you is the kingdom, with you is the glory, with you only. So even though we are aware of your tiredness, you have sneaked into your bedchamber, and it is worthy for you to find rest. We cannot allow you rest because there is a situation that you are the only one that can solve. Now, come with me quickly. If anyone told you that the situation of the elections in Nigeria has been concluded, that person spoke from Adonijah's feast. He was not given an entry ticket into the bedchamber scenario. Come with me. Meanwhile, I speak in parables. Speaking. It's Bible study. We're just looking at it. the scriptures. Hallelujah. Okay. Verse 11. Wherefore Nathan spake unto Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, hast thou not heard that Adonijah the son of Haggith doth reign, and David our Lord knoweth it not? That means God has not shown any sign that he's aware. Meanwhile, it will interest you to know that this is a metaphor. All the people mentioned here are metaphors. And the people mentioned in this metaphor are the only ones I will unravel in the whole jigsaw puzzle of metaphors in this progression of revelation. So, if you look carefully, you will see Bathsheba there. I don't even have time to take you into the meaning of Bathsheba. It would have interested us to take that journey. Because when Isaac was trying to enter into the inheritance that his father left for him. But the Philistines were aware that it was Isaac's father that was the warrior. That Isaac had no story of conquest. So they were waiting for Abraham to be declared dead. See, Isaac cannot fight. Isaac is not a warrior. It was Abraham that armed 318 men that were born in his house to become his militia. And they came against a combination of armies that were forged by kings. And they discomfited them. Abraham had a track record of warfare. But Isaac was not a fighter. So they waited for him. When Abraham passed, the Philistines showed up. The first thing that they did was that the wells that Abraham dug, they poured sand in it and closed them up. After a while, when Isaac finished mourning, he was ready to pick up his life back. He went to those wells. He began to dig them again. He still found water. But the Philistines began to strive with him. So he called the name of the first well Ethek, which means strive. Went to another well that Abraham dug. He unstopped it, found water. Meanwhile, this is a desert place, and it is a sign of goodwill from God that you are able to strike water in the desert. But the Philistines had no regard for the blessing that water is. They stopped wells. He unstopped the second well. They strove with him again. And he called the place Sitna, which means contention. First, it was strife. Then he built up something more intense. They began to contend with him. He moved from there, and then he went to another place which was not part of the territory that his father charted. And he struck water again. That became his own, and the Philistines could not strive. He called the place Rehoboth. That was a place of prosperity. And he said, now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall flourish in the land. Because whenever someone arrives at prosperity, he thinks that the purpose of God is where God is leading you is prosperity. So he was ready to stretch out his tent pegs. He was ready to relax. Oh my God, my fighting is over. It was in Rehoboth there that God quickened him to go to Bathsheba to dig a well. When his servants went to Bathsheba, instead of digging a well, they found a spring that was coming out of the rock. But I don't want to press that. We will need a whole class to talk about Bathsheba. This Bathsheba. But you see, the fact that Bathsheba is in the feminine is suggestive of the fact that she can well be described within the context of what the church is, which is the bride of Christ. So she is symbolic of the church. And you will see that she has a counselor, even Prophet Nathan. Prophet Nathan was a prototype of what the Holy Spirit does around your life to give you counsel. So the prophet Nathan was bringing counsel from the throne room, counsel that will pass in the politics of the throne room, in the politics of the bedchamber. It seemed to be that Prophet Nathan has worked so closely with David that he understands his emotional pulse, he understands his reaction, he knows what he will do, the kind of questions he will ask, and on the strength of his huge experience working with the king, he was in a position to give her, to offer her counsel. See, Holy Spirit is there. You see, the Church of Jesus is there. This time, it is not a polling booth. This time, we are ascending a bedchamber. And that's what we are going to do until the scepter of God falls on the man that God has ordained. Finished from the polls, now we are heading to the chamber. Please tell your neighbor, we are finished from the polls. Now we are headed to the bedchamber. Someone will wonder and say, the bedchamber doesn't sound like a place where powers that are responsible for ruling nations can be found. You don't know your politics. You think that census and polling is what determines who rules. The Bible says the Most High ruled in the affairs of men. So when you are done on the field, you need to take a trip to the bedchamber. The resting king must be awoken out of his sleep. He has not participated in all of the events that has taken place so far. In fact, people take his silence, their minute for endorsement. And Adonijah has spoken loud. He has spoken blasphemies. Hallelujah! So we have evidence to present to the king, and Nathan seems to know what will make him stand up. He gathered some very choice words and armed Bathsheba to go whisper them, that even if he's in the deepest of sleep, or he's in the deepest of weakness, he will arise. We need to learn the words again that can make the Lion of Israel will arise from his slumber, because he needs to come back into the pride lands of Nigeria to look upon the feasting that is going on without his knowledge. You know what I mean? It's just Bible study. What else? What I mean? Hallelujah. I'm just doing Bible study here. Now, therefore, come, let me, I pray thee, give thee counsel that thou mayest save thy own life and the life of thy son Solomon. First thing we're going to be praying for, we're going to be praying for Solomon. Whenever you kneel down to pray, are you following? I'm giving you prayer points here, you know. Well, you know, I said I will not explain the. Do you realize that Solomon was not allowed into the bedchamber? The bedchamber business is not Solomon's business. The bedchamber business belongs to you and me, the bride. We need to pray for the preservation of the life of Solomon. Adonijah has a seed of rebellion in him. His brother was the rebel of Israel. I want to believe that he sat in strategic meetings, takeover meetings. He understands how rebellion smells. And he knows who to take out if his ambitions are threatened. So we need to pray for Solomon and say, Lord, Lord, hallelujah. Are you there? Good. I prophesied once about this season. Long, long ago, I believe it was in Lagos. And in the words that came from the Lord, then the third force had not yet risen. But the Lord spoke to me that he's sending David. We didn't even know how to interpret that until a wind began to blow. And when we analyzed that wind, we knew that this was none else but a wild wind from heaven responsible for what is going on. You see, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this is not a time to decide to decamp and join the feasting of Adonijah. You would have been trading your destiny for darkness. All of these things that have taken place, David's consent has not been sought. And feast calves have already been sacrificed. Merry men have been called. Alliances have been forged over wine. Praise singers were already in the room. Disco lights were already blinking. The tambourine was already, oh my God. And all kinds of things were already taking place. And David was not consulted. He was in his chamber, on his couch, resting from too many wars. And the kingdom for which he bled, for which he fought, for which he strove, was being sold out and courtesy. The courtesy of even putting him on notice was not found in the heart of Adonijah. He only came to announce that I will be king. I will be king. So like the watchers of our day, by the power of guardianship by which the Lord himself has installed us, we journey into the bedchamber so that our prince might wake, our monarch might cease from his sleep, that he might look again unto his kingdom and proclaim his will. I like something that was said here. Jump with me quickly. These are the words of Bathsheba. And I want to arm you with these words as we pray in a moment. Oh my God, my time is almost spent. Verse number 20. 1 Kings 1:20. First of all, we'll pray for Solomon that his life will be preserved. Every righteous man in the land must pray passionately for Solomon. Never has our redemption been so near. For all the days I've lived, 45 years, never has our redemption been so near. So we pray for Solomon. That's the first prayer point. And the second prayer point, these are the words which Bathsheba speak. He said, "And thou, my Lord, O King, the eyes of all Israel are upon thee." Kubamenite. Our eyes are not on the polling booths. Our eyes are not on the beaver's machine. All of Israel, we look to you. When will you awake out of your sleep? When will you overcome your slumber? When will your jealousy concerning Nigeria arise? Remind him, let him know that the blood of all the slain be precious in your sight. Let the souls of the martyrs that cry quicken your hand from your side, that you might raise again your scepter and decree, Amaiko Samina Kedia Bakunda. The eyes of Israel, they are upon thee. Somebody needs to cry to him right now. The eyes of Israel. The eyes of Israel. The eyes of Israel. The eyes of Israel. If we prevail in the bedchamber,
What is happening in the marketplace will be upturned. The eyes of Israel are upon thee. Upon thee. Upon thee. Upon thee. Sabon teke du gamahasai. The eyes of Israel. Kabola matua setile. The eyes of Israel. The eyes of your people. The eyes of a nation. They look to the King of justice, to the King of judgment, to the King of equity. When will you overcome your sleep? When will you overcome your slumber? When will you raise your scepter in judgment again over Nigeria? Our eyes are upon it. The eyes of Israel. The eyes of Israel. The eyes of Israel. Saboko Belaita. Genia Kobesi Kebraske Tobokonde. Abrosketa Manselia Keda. Aboni akis kompalu amesa ila makatoba. Jeni akombe lasi. By the alliances of men, the destiny of our land is about to be thwarted. Oh, governor among the nations, we appeal to Zion. For the eyes of Israel are upon you. The eyes of your people, they are upon you. The eyes of your people, we appeal to the throne, domiciled in the heavens, where righteousness resides, where justice sits. Oh, awake, overcome your slumber.
Ma abrasta teto kapelala roko basade.
Roko basade si mama.
Dia kabonse.
Ale, ale, ale. Into thy bed chamber we come. We come with counsel from the Holy Ghost. Oh King, the eyes of Israel are upon thee. The eyes of Israel, they look to thee. Awake out of your sleep. Come suddenly. Come suddenly. Decree afresh. Speak again.
Yasobela Mantelia. Eso Sante Presco Fataba Cantelia. Ye Consele Cadi. Rakatosa Matabaca Yeto Celia. Endo Mocolo Secapi. Alla concesso celantenia, abranda babosia mena, iata che dopo cotobre, varia sica, varia catebodo, alessia,
ane mambraske tokopala ayatos e remendele ila brakatosa ye ila seminante iatokopres kapapapapaya ristapakakoko alesosia alekopala Adonai Jamos not reign. Our time in the wilderness has been accomplished. These are the days for our beginning of life. He must not wait. Aboboria sika branta baboria. Entomena siko presko padwa. Recatenti con Padua, Shama Catabanda Babone, Yates, Rascatabonda Baleta, Iga Mansale, Iga Mansopre Catania, Alaso Santeria, Alabra Catabona Catere, Aziso Sanica Preste, Alabo Seminate, Alabo Sami, Racatala Brusa Batayato. Sakilo Baraita, I Kabasa Mahatele, Abres Kotela Siko, Reko Santalia, Akabela Kuria Barakatelia, Asamasa de Babaria Katelia. All the eyes of Israel are upon thee.
We say no to you, no to your words, no to your plans, no to the word, say no to you. Say that we love you. Oh, we say no to you, no to your words, no to your plans. No to your love, say no to you, Lord. Say that we love you. Say no to you. No to your love, say no to your plans. No to your love, say no to you, Lord. Say that we love you. You say no, you say no to you. No to your love, say no to your plans. No to your love, say no to you. Say no to you, not to your world, say no to your. hands. No to your work, we say no to you. Satan, be done. We say no to you. No to your works and no to your plans. No to your work, we say no to you. Satan, be done. We say no. We say no to you. No to your works and no to your plans. No to your work, we say no to you. Satan, be done. The world say no to you. Say thank you. We say no to you. No to your words and no to your plans. No to your world say no to you. Say thank you. We say no. Oh, we say no, say no to you. No to your words and no to your plans. No to your words, say no to you. Oh, say that. Oh, we say no, say no to you. No to your words and no to your plans.
We say no
to your words, we say no to you.
Oh,
say that.
Yeah, we say no.
That thou shouldest tell them who will sit on the throne of my Lord. What she was saying to him was, you might need to speak again. You know, the Lord spoke before, but what we are asking is, speak again. Speak again. You know, in the Garden of Eden, when Adam failed, Satan knew that God was immutable. That if he spoke before, he can speak again and all the variables will change. There was one thing he could not control in that garden. He could not control the immutable. Oh, speak again. Speak again. And the great one came into the garden with a riddle. That the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. Another program was set in motion just because he came to utter his voice. She was saying to him, speak again. Speak. 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 For the counsel of the Lord shall not fall to the ground. Void. Speak again. You spoke before in times past. We want to ask that you speak again. Oh, aha. Speak again. Zikabonde ekediasu. Bramoskito. Bema antele. Rako bakusala. Bramensate. Ikabangolo. Ebriska palamanda. Aya. Speak again. Speak again. Speak again. Speak again. Labosile embroske. Afusa sane kumbame. Balaso sakadula. Apemisela. Roke skupalankonda. Balakonda balakuse saliata. Resko pakunde demo. Speak again. Speak again. You spoke before. You can speak again. Halibo said, Alambros Kito, that thou shouldest tell them. Oh, keeper of justice. Ruler of light. Speak again. Over Nigeria. Sabina Kuria Barakaska from here. Yesu Salam Roskedo Balahai. Yesu Sila Brante. Yakomina Sulia. Resconta Ibra Bakate. Jabinaito, Bagusa, Bagalatua, and Scomina Cantelli, Aisto Salamantai.